Okay, very good. Well, good morning, everyone. It's a little after 9 o'clock on Wednesday, January 26th. We're gathered for an informal hearing on the MDU Renewable Resource Cost Recovery rates, which is case number PU-21-420. I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Joining me is Commissioner Randy Christman. Whoops. So we have a quorum for the time. I don't have any opening comments, and this is your portfolio now, Commissioner Christman. So I'll turn it over to you, and do you want to take it from here?
I can.
Sure.
I'm glad you said now, because it hasn't been for long.
No.
So this got scheduled. I just want, anybody who's monitoring, as well as for you from the company that are here, I think this is scheduled for 2 hours, but leading up today, I see the request or the original plan was for hopeful implementation in time for February implementation. And so we scheduled a special meeting actually for 10 o'clock, so kind of in the middle of the informal. But as I had been reviewing it, I think I understand the details well enough to believe that this should not take very long in the informal, and that the proposed order is clear enough. I guess I'm thinking it's going to come out that we can move into a special meeting, so we scheduled it. But if, again, this portfolio is new to me, if there's something that I'm getting wrong that just isn't right, then we're going to have to cancel that special meeting and work on it to get a correct order and hold the meeting later and delay the implementation. With that, I would just turn it over to whoever's presenting.
And we should probably have our staff introduce themselves for the record first, and then the company can do the same and take it away.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Victor Shook, PSC staff.
Patrick Vaughn, PSC staff.
All right. Okay. So, Travis, are you running lead or? Okay. Go ahead, Allison.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for providing the company this opportunity for discussion in relation to case number PU-21-420. I'll begin by making introductions. My name is Allison Mann, in-house counsel with MDU Resources Group, representing Montana Dakota Utility this morning. Here with me today, I'll start on my right, is Travis Jacobson, Director of Regulatory Affairs. Working over, we have Darren Holzer, Manager of Generation Facility Operations. To my left is Nathan Benson, Senior Regulatory Analyst. And then to his left, we have Tara Vesey, Manager of Regulatory Affairs. Also here for the company today, we have three individuals online. First, we have Garrett Senger, Executive VP of Regulatory Affairs, Customer Service and Administration. Next, we have, I believe we have Joe Geiger, Director of Generation and Power Production, and also Teresa Addison, Supervisor of Generation Accounting. We are here today to discuss Montana Dakota's renewable resource cost adjustment rate, specifically the company's request to update the rate to reflect project costs for the coming year. The company has prepared a short presentation to provide you more detail on this request. Presenting today will be Nathan and Darren, but we have individuals here to answer any questions should they come up in the course of the presentation. With that, I will turn it over to Nathan.
Thank you. As stated, we're here to discuss the Renewable Resource Cost Adjustment, or RRCA, Rate 55. Montana Dakota filed its annual update on November 1, 2021, and within that filing, it was requested just north of $18 million to be collected over the following year in the updating rates. The proposed revenue requirement reflects a projected revenue requirement of January 22 through December 22, true up of costs and revenues, actuals through September 2021, and estimated October 21 through January 22. As stated earlier, we did ask for an implementation of February 1, 2022 within that filing. to discuss what kind of costs and what kind of pieces drive the revenue requirement in the RRCA. Costs include depreciation, O&M, ad valorem taxes or wind generation taxes, and the approved return on investment related to the company's investment in the three wind facilities. Also included in the revenue requirement are federal production tax credits, accumulated investment tax credits, and the ARAM reversals related to deferred income taxes that act as a reduction to the revenue requirement. Also included is a true-up of prior period costs. Included in the revenue requirement is also a levelization adjustment. The levelization adjustment is required, was ordered by the commission in the previous two annual filings to levelize the revenue requirement of Thunder Spirit based on the remaining PTCs at the time of the orders. The adjustment included in this current filing is just under $6.3 million. And the calculation has been made consistent with the previous orders in the annual filings for the renewable rider. Also included in the levelization adjustment is a an adjustment related to the projected PTCs available to the company at the completion of the Diamond Willow repowering project. And if we move to the next slide, within the filing, the company proposed a levelization methodology similar to what was ordered for Thunder Spirit, which is a declining PTC method related to the projected return for the life, for the remaining life of the assets. So on the chart in slide six, there are two lines there. The blue line representing the standard revenue requirement for just the Diamond Willow assets, and the orange line representing how the levelized revenue requirement would work under this current method. The company did choose to file with this method as it was just the approved method in our other levelization required by the orders in the previous cases.
And if I can step in for 1 second, Nathan, one thing I just to remind commissioners that the levelization method that we used for Thunder Spirit was a little bit different than a straight levelization method. I think it was called the Victor method or the Shook look or something like that. And so to remind you all, but and this filing is consistent with that methodology, applying it to the Diamond Willow repowering PTCs.
The Shook look?
The Shook look, yep.
Patent pending.
It's still pending, huh?
Okay. You've not been following up, Victor.
And the reason we had done that differently with Thunder Spirit was because, contrary to most of the other regulated utility-owned wind farms in the state, the PTCs had already been collected for a number of years at the time we undertook that whole thing. And so it would have been really abrupt to do it like we did with the rest, that were either just starting or were in one case in a big pool of ones with different start dates. And so now this is just getting this new repowering on board with like we do all the rest of them, as opposed to that unique situation, correct?
So, oh, I'm sorry.
That's good. If you actually move to the next slide, we did actually prepare what the levelization would look like in a straight levelized PTC method.
Can someone, before we go through this, remind me of the methodology between the two, the Shook look and the straight levelized?
Sure. Straight levelized, you're simply taking the estimated total amount that the wind farm will earn in PTCs and dividing it evenly over the life of it. So
that's
25
right.
years divided by however many millions of PTCs. The Shook look is essentially proportionally approximating your return with those. So as the balance goes down, the return goes down. So you are getting a higher amount of PTCs utilized in the early years than the later years. But what that does is it makes the revenue requirement relatively consistent over the entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So that first chart there kind of shows it really well, where, you know, $3 million annual revenue requirement for the majority of the entire life. And that's what the Shook look was intended to accomplish.
And we applied the other one.
So with Otter Tail and NSP renewable riders, we applied the straight levelized method
okay.
for all of their wind farms because it didn't have as significant of an impact on their rates.
Okay.
With MDU, since Thunder Spirit was, I think, halfway through its PTCs, it was a more significant increase to do it that way. So the commission chose to use the Shook Look for that wind farm. And I don't know if it was officially said, but I think the idea at the time was the commission's feelings were likely future wind farms would get the straight levelized treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's one question the commission needs to answer today, is if they want to utilize the straight levelization or the Shook method for
the
Diamond Wheel repower. We wouldn't look to mess with what's happening with Thunder Spirit.
And the company is open to using the straight levelized PTC method as well. One fortunate occurrence between the two methods is we did calculate the first year to take into account when the project would be placed into service, which is estimated as October. So the estimated PTCs within that year run through both methods, come out to a 1.8% levelizing adjustment in both methods, just based on the amount of total PTCs and, that are going to be projected through the rest of the for this project here. So the company is open to either method on this case here, but we do have both laid out for you to take a look at there.
And I think the reason that levelization percent being the same is so important is because that would mean that in 2022 there would be no difference in customer rates whether we used the Victor method Shook Look versus the straight line levelization.
When do the PTCs kick in?
At the completion of the repower project. So.
And that's, you're thinking October?
Estimated October, correct. 22, yes.
But you'd be starting to collect this new rate in February?
Correct.
It's actually a lower rate than what it was last year.
I see.
And it's assuming that those PTCs start in October. It's just spread throughout that
mm-hmm.
time frame.
Okay. And is it operating right now?
Not with the repower.
Okay.
But
the
Diamond
other.
Willow is operating today.
Diamond Willow,
yes.
Okay. All right.
That's my overview of the levelization methods that we look at. And I will have Darren talk about Diamond Willow a little bit more in detail and the repower project.
Thank you, Nathan and commissioners. So Diamond Willow Wind is a 30 megawatt wind project located near Baker, Montana. Phase one of the project, which consists of 19 and a half megawatts or 13 turbines, went commercial in 2007. The repower of phase one project is eligible for 10 years of wind PTCs, currently at 2 cents per kilowatt hour, which equates to 80% of full PTC value. The project is to be completed in late 2022, and project costs are estimated to be approximately $15.4 million. Allocated to North Dakota would be $10.95 million. Estimated PTCs through the 10 years would be $16.8 million, and allocated to North Dakota would be $11.9 million.
Darren, was there a phase two that brought it up to 30 megawatts?
Pardon me,
was there a phase two that brought it up to 30 megawatts? You say phase one went commercial in 2007.
Correct, yes.
When was phase two?
That was 2010.
Okay.
Yep. So Diamond Willow Wind repowering will focus on replacing the generator's gearboxes, namely the drivetrain.
I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on this.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Repowering of phase one is only the first phase is eligible for the PTCs?
That is correct.
So is there, how many more turbines aren't, or what's happening with those?
So phase two was constructed and came online in 2010, and they are not eligible. Because of a safe harbor project, we started It's kind of hinged on a safe harbor project we started in 2017 on phase one. We had to replace three gearbox and main shafts. And so phase one was separated out from phase two because of the timing of it.
So the tell me, I'm not fully following. This safe harbor, you bought some turbines and or pieces in 2017 that
correct.
Qualify?
So, yes, we had three gearboxes fail in 2017, which triggered a full replacement of the gearboxes and main shafts.
Mm-hmm.
And that project costed in the range of $900,000. And so working with a consultant, they pointed us to tying that to a safe harbor
okay.
to start construction in 2017.
And in order to qualify for the repower, you had to have a certain amount of construction in order to get the PTCs. So that's what he's talking about, the safe harbor. We had spent enough.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's kind of on a percentage of your investment.
Correct.
And so you had to show that you had begun construction in order to qualify for the 80% level of the PTCs.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Dima Willow Wind, the repowering will focus on replacing the generators and gearboxes and refurbishing or replacing the blades. Since that time, we've kind of pointed our focus to refurbishing, so I will go into a little bit more of that. On that, the annual energy production increases will upgrade with upgrade options to include leading edge protection, vortex generators, and gurney flaps. This work will be performed on site to eliminate any delivery coordination, and also that refurbishment option, there is no disposal or recycling coordination required with that option. Moving on to the next slide, Diamond Willow repowering. The company modeled the cost effectiveness of a repower versus no repower. The repowering is modeled as the least cost alternative. Replacement of equipment and warranty. Refurbishing blades versus replacing is more cost effective and less coordination. Total capital expenditure is mitigated by additional PTCs. And the repower is expected to provide an incremental increase to overall generation of these turbines.
So I didn't realize this with the refurbishing as opposed to replacing blades. So I always heard that over the years, just the constant movement and particles in the air and such, the fiberglass just wears away and they need to be replaced. How do you refurbish them? What does that really mean?
Good question, Commissioner Chrisman. So to expand on that, it starts with a very comprehensive inspection, both internal and external, to verify the structural integrity is suitable for a refurbishment. We completed all of that in December of last year, and these blades do qualify. So what they will do is they will come in, we drop the rotors, so all of the blades will be on the ground. They do any gusset repairs for the structural integrity internally with epoxy, fiberglass, etc. And then they sandblast and bead blast the exterior, the leading edge, which you're talking about, the leading edge erosion from the particles in the air. And they apply a new leading edge protection on that. And then they re-epoxy. It is. It's a two-part epoxy. There are different options, but the one we found most effective is a two-part epoxy that is spread on the leading edge, and then they recoat the blade and they repaint it, and it's considered refurbished to like new with and a warranty that aligns with a new replacement.
That's cool. Is that a proven technology? Has the industry been doing that for a while?
It is. When we reached out to GE, they had a couple of different options for us, and one was replacement blades with a longer or larger rotor diameter, and also this refurbishment option. So any blades that they collected through repowering other projects that were still structurally sound, they would refurbish them and sell them as a replacement.
Okay. So are you using blades that have been refurbished?
We will. Ours are suitable, the existing, so we will refurbish our blades.
I see. On-site?
On-site, correct.
Does the conditions have to be perfect for this work to happen? And when does it take place? What time of year?
So we're going to start the project in late July, so we're not too concerned about conditions or weather conditions.
Like winds? It seems It'll like it would be hard to deal
ground.
With those big blades on the
yeah.
ground if it was super windy and you're spraying stuff on them.
Correct, yeah. And I think there is an option where we could tent over the top of them with poly, et cetera, if it became a concern. I think we'll work with the windows given weather permitting.
And do you have a contract with an outside firm or whoever to do all that work, and they're the ones providing the warranty, and it's kind of out of your hands? They have to live up to their contract?
Correct.
Okay. What if it doesn't work in that time frame, then what? Because
they
of weather
can do
or
these.
Whatever.
They can perform these up tower as well, suspended by ropes. So that is an option if we have to reinstall the rotors. They can be performed later up tower.
That doesn't sound like a risk-free job.
It is not a risk-free job.
Gosh.
You are correct.
Oh.
I'm thinking a lot of those people in Montana, especially the ones that went to school in Bozeman, would probably like to see, as long as you're spraying them, that they become green and gold.
Right. Good point, Commissioner Crispin.
Depends on the shade of green. Definitely not gold.
You're here. Included in the rates, and we were ordered to do so going forward in the last quarter. We're implementing that regulatory liability into our rate base for this filing. It's projected to be around $14 million with a reduction to rate base in the projected 2022 period. And the last thing, driving down the revenue requirement for the current year, was under Spirit's assets.
Victor, on that accounting piece that he was just talking about, I'm counting on you to have dug into that and assume that it's correct.
Yes, the ARAM is the result of the TCJA.
Correct.
Anything that had been started to have accelerated depreciation has some sort of adjustment.
Okay.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
What's the difference again on the variance, the $2 million variance between this filing and the prior filing current? What's the biggest?
The biggest is probably including the the regulatory liability related to the levelization.
I see. Okay.
Well, I disagree with you on that. I mean, that was something that was done a long time ago. You kind of knowing what the plans were. And that, when we talk about the biggest driver is, that assumes that there's always going to be a certain level of new spending. But a lot of what was recovered last time mm-hmm. is recovered. And the big driver in this is the additional cost for the repowering, and that's the big new thing in all this, not the levelization or the under recovery or any of that.
I guess in terms of the decrease is what I was asking. So,
okay.
But yeah, if it wasn't for this repowering, there'd be an even bigger.
Then the decrease would be far more.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when we looked at it, we compared what the revenue requirement would be with the repowering versus what it would be like if we weren't undertaking the repowering because of the PTCs associated, as well as some other pieces. It would actually result in basically a zero net effect to the revenue requirement and the levelization.
There is that when I say that's the big piece of the puzzle. That's right, that is not netting out the PTCs over a long period, but for this, we're talking about a year or so. But you're right. I was not taking into consideration the PTCs.
And when I say it has, basically a flat revenue requirement, and when you look at revenue requirement and levelization together, it's basically flat. That is considering for just 2022.
Right. And based on the timing of the implementation with October, since we do a monthly revenue requirement, it's the 3 months that it's that the project placed in service, that's another reason why the swing isn't so dramatic for that project in 2022.
Can I go back just a minute?
Yes.
On the repowering? And this would be slide 10, where you've got the repowering as model as the least cost alternative. How did it compare to replacing it with bigger blades that would generate more power, that comparison over time?
Darren, would you be able to answer that question?
Commissioner Fedorchuk, could you please repeat that question?
Sure. So this one of the options would have been replacing it with new blades that were bigger, that would have generated more power over time. And so I'm curious how the repowering with the same blades, refurbished versus replacing the blades with bigger blades that would have generated more power and been more efficient mm-hmm. and probably generated more PTCs over time. What was that comparison?
So the main driver in that comparison was related to that safe harbor piece that I spoke about earlier in 2017. If we would have went with a larger blade, we would have had to upsize our gearbox as well as the main shaft. And since that safe harbor piece is in place from that 2017 project, we cannot replace those.
Mm.
And so we would have only been able to upsize 10 of the 13, and that would have caused a kind of a unique dynamic that we were concerned about.
Mm. Like operationally? Or?
Yes, yeah. And also that wind farm is permitted for 13 megawatts, and this could have put us into the MISO queue again.
Sure.
So that was another obstacle.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Moving forward to slide 12. Shows what we are proposing for rates in the current filing. Proposed rates for residential small general, 0.00899 per kilowatt hour. Proposed large general, 0.00838 per kilowatt hour. and lighting proposed 0.01161 per kilowatt hour. And as you can see, for each class in this filing, it would be a decrease. In this case, for a residential customer using around 894 kilowatt hours per month, would see a decrease of about $1.20 per month or $14.40 annually. And to wrap up there again, we did ask for implementation on February 1st, and we realized that there could be a meeting to implement that afterwards, but just to bear in mind that if we want to stick to that timeline, that we would need a decision soon. But we're open for any questions on any of this, and that concludes our presentation.
Is there any additional information showing the customer rate impact? Or maybe there isn't any on the two different levelization methods. Maybe not for this year, but if we choose one or the other down the road, it has an impact.
So I think if we look at the couple of charts, what page were those on? Here we go.
Six and seven?
Six and seven.
Okay.
You know, so this is total revenue requirement. Quite honestly, to an average residential customer, there's not going to be a very significant impact from that kind of a change. I mean, you know, so we're talking in this filing of a drop of $2 million in the revenue requirement, and it's making about a dollar a month impact. And if you look at even, so next year is probably one of the more significant differences.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Victor method, we're dropping down $500,000 in revenue requirement relative to the straight levelized method for 2023 revenue requirement.
Mm-hmm.
So $500,000 is maybe going to be, what, 40 cents? So.
We did some analysis. I don't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
But we did some analysis where we compared the shook look, the Victor method, to the straight levelization. And as we said, in 2022, it would have a $0 net effect. In 23, the straight levelization would be an increase of a little over $2. And that would be, as you said, the biggest $2 per year, I should say, not per month, but per year, for average residential customer. And that would be the biggest changes. We went out to 26. We didn't go all the way out to the 35, but then it would reduce from there. By 26, it would be about a dollar difference.
And that's a difference between the levelized and the shook look?
Yes.
Annually?
Yes.
Okay.
And by the 2030s, it will be less. Yes, if you use the complete levelized method.
That is correct, yes.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'd be comfortable with the levelized method if that's just to bring everybody kind of consistent.
I think that makes a consistent pattern to, as we move forward with new facilities, that's where I'm at as well. If you're okay with that, then I have some
go for it.
Not levelization questions. what was this?
November 1st.
On your November 1st filing? I'm on page 5. I just want to make sure I understand the capital additions of $13.7 million. So piecing together, the Thunder Spirit light mitigation is 1.276. Does that sound right? And that has a projected October of 2022 in-service date for the ADLS. Excuse me. And then 10.947 million is the Diamond Willow Phase 1 repower, and that has a August of 2022 projected implementation. October.
Retail, October.
October. And so that leaves about $1.5 million out of that 13.7, and that is for gearbox and generator replacements, just somewhere that could come up, that the kind of routine maintenance estimate. Is that a good assessment of it?
Mm-hmm.
But not at Cedar Hills.
There is some Cedar Hills CapEx included in there, yes.
So theirs is not part of the repowering?
Correct.
Okay. And Cedar Hills is entirely in Montana, right?
Cedar Hills is North Dakota. Diamond Willow will be Montana.
Diamond Willow is entirely in Montana.
Correct.
Okay. That's all my questions.
Okay. I have another question about the gearbox and those replacement pieces that you purchased in 2017. Where has that money been? I mean, have you guys just carried that over since 2017, or how have you been collecting on that from ratepayers for future use? Do you know what I mean? You purchased it in 2017, and now you're paying for it, and now it's going into rates. Where has it been? Where have those costs been?
Those have been, at the time we did those, we would have placed that in service. So it would have been part of our rate base and part of our filings, our riders.
So in these riders, so just like they're projecting, in 2022, they don't know of any specific generator or gearbox replacements in Cedar Hills and Phase 2 of Diamond Willow, but it's likely that it will happen. So similarly, in the past, the company has done that as well. As those replacements were done, they would show up in this annual update as additions to plant.
Okay, so they're not. So those gearbox and generator replacements at Diamond Willow are not part of the 10.947. They've already been charged.
Correct.
So what's the 10.947? That's just the blades and everything else, or?
And any remaining gearboxes. So there were only, how many? Three of them done in 2017. So the remaining 10 and the blades, and there's another, you know, there's more to it than just those, what we did in 2017.
Oh,
but
few more.
The reason that's important is it was the start of construction, which is more of a, probably a technical piece of it that allows us to earn the PTCs.
Right. Yep.
A better way to think about that, in my opinion, it's kind of a happy accident that you qualify for this. You know, those generator and gearbox replacements happened, and you come to find out later that kind of technically qualifies it for the safe harbor PTCs,
yep.
And therefore it makes sense to repower it at this time. It wasn't necessarily a plan to do it that way. It just so happened.
They were required to be done, but that gave us that next step, if you will.
Right, yeah. The opportunity.
Right.
Victor, you're hurting Darren's chance for a raise. He had it planned all along.
He knew what he was doing.
There's no such thing as happy accident.
Or maybe he threw a wrench into the gearbox.
No.
Why this is called informal.
Informal.
Pretty wild accusation.
Laughing aloud. Oh, all right. I think that's it for my questions as well. Okay. Are we good?
I would be ready to proceed with a special meeting.
Okay, very good.
But I don't think we can have that earlier than 10.
No, it's already been noticed for 10, so we'll just leave it at that. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll bring this to an end. Does the company have anything more to add, I should ask?
Nothing further.
Okay, and staff?
Nope, nothing.
Okay, very good. All right, so is there any objection to the evidence that was provided during this informal hearing being used as part of the record to on which our decision will be based?
No objection.
No objection.
All right, then that will be added to the official record, and I think a decision will be reached here shortly. So with that completed, then we will call this informal to an end, and appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.